This is Matt Connickson. I'm a sales agronomist with CHX Ag Services in Oakley, Minnesota. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Wednesday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Whitney Pittman, along with Randy Conan. We'll hear from Sierra Doctor as well. Much of the Midwest remains dry and continues to see good planting progress. We are seeing some rain in far northeast North Dakota and northwest Minnesota. World Weather Incorporated says the Midwest will see more sunshine than rain during the next 2 weeks, allowing planting to be completed in many areas. World Weather says rains may be frequent enough in the northern plains to cause some planting delays, but the rain will be beneficial for the crops that are already in the ground. Temperatures are expected to be in the 70s and 80s most days.
Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Sierra Doctor on the road today near Barnesville, Minnesota.
I'm Sierra Doctor here on the Red River Farm Network with our Pioneer Agronomy Update in Barnesville, Minnesota. I'm here with Brent Sorensen, Pioneer Seed Strategic Account Manager. Brent, give me an idea of kind of what planting progress is like around this area.
The area that we're working in from about Fergus Falls north, almost all the way to Grand Forks north there, I would say we're probably in the 80% or better. Planting progress on corn. Probably looking at similar to soybeans. People are really getting close to finishing up, and in a week from now we should be mostly wrapped up if we don't get too much rain.
Field conditions have been pretty good?
Field conditions really are excellent. We look at seed placement and how the seed is going into the soil. They've got pretty decent moisture. Some areas a little dry, and when you get done with planting, probably enjoy to have a little rain. But for the most part, what I've seen is that seeds going into moisture and really in pretty good shape.
Tell me a little bit about the plot we're at here today.
This is a plot where we're taking a look at two different things. We're seeing if we can increase yield by adding additional zinc in furrow. And the other part is that we have a new product, a biological called Utricia P, which is supposed to increase phosphorus uptake in the plant and increase yield. And so both of those are in this trial. And it's actually is about a 40-acre trial that we'll be taking samples through the summer and then yield in the fall.
We're already seeing a lot of pretty good emergence coming up.
Yeah, emergence is great here. We've got really pretty nice uniform emergence. Timing is great. Looks like we're off to a good start in here.
When was this planted in? Are a lot of fields, I guess, farmers seeing kind of something similar?
This was planted about the 15th of May or so. And I think emergence generally is pretty good. Sometimes we've got a little bit of a pounding rain and might have a little bit of a crust, but for the most part, what I've been looking at, emergence is just really excellent.
Tell me about stand details and where this plot's kind of at.
You know, we really try to get the best stand we can coming into our planting season, and so we always are looking to optimize our population. So we set out with a goal of whatever it is, 32 to 38,000 someplace in there, and trying to maintain that desired population is really critical.
And there's tools too that Pioneer offers, like a scorecard. Walk me through what's kind of on that and how farmers can utilize that.
Sure. Yes, Pioneer has scorecards for emergence on corn, soybeans, sunflowers, and canola. And our Pioneer sales professionals have those cards. And if the customer would like to have us come out and work with them and assess them, we can go through that and get a pretty good assessment of how that stand is doing and their potential from this point on.
Thanks, Brent. That was Brent Sorensen, Pioneer Seed Strategic Account Manager here in our Pioneer Agronomy Update in Barnesville, Minnesota. I'm Sierra Doctor on the Red River Farm Network.
BASF Tech Service Representative Dan Millis says central and western North Dakota planting is chugging along.
As of right now, planting progress is going really well. We've been able to avoid some precipitation now the last week, so there's a lot of crop going in the ground. Certain areas are wetter than others, but seems like everywhere is pretty much going now. Seen a few wheat or barley fields that are in the 2 to 3 leaf stage now. A lot of other crop is just got planted or starting to come out of the ground, so yeah, things are moving along quickly.
Millis says farmers need to be at the top of their game for weed control this year.
I guess looking at a few fields here the last number of days, there's a lot of weeds coming this year. I mean, we've got a lot of kochia coming, some grasses out there, something to really pay attention to help keep these weeds at bay. We need to really start thinking about either doing a tillage or a chemistry application to help keep those weeds down as the crop's coming out of the ground.
Tomorrow is the deadline for most counties to plant corn and receive full crop insurance coverage. Countryside Insurance Agency owner Jennifer Otison lists the upcoming deadlines.
The corn final planting date for most counties is the 25th of May, so we're knocking on that door. And then sugar beets, of course, then is May 31st. For small grains, it varies a little bit. Trail County is the 31st of May, where then you go just slightly north to Grand Forks County, it's June 5th. So depending on what county you're in, that can vary just a little bit. And then, you know, you go on to beans, and that's not till like June 10th for soybeans or dry beans. And sunflowers are usually around June 10th, too, and that can vary by county.
Otison says you're still able to plant past the deadline, but your coverage will be reduced.
These final planting dates is a little misleading by the name, but you actually can plant past these dates, but your coverage is just reduced 1% a day, up to 25 days for most crops. That can vary as well. So just something else to keep in mind.
Farmers transition from conventional to regenerative agriculture systems can expect a 15 to 25% increase in profitability. But that transition can take 3 to 5 years. A new report released by Boston Consulting Group and the One Planet Business for Biodiversity Coalition cites reduced crop input costs, healthier soil, and fewer complications from fertilizer runoff as the primary benefits of regenerative agriculture. Go to rrfn.com. Sign up for our weekly Red River Farm Network e-newsletter. FarmNet News hits your email box every Monday. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Wednesday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. An extension to the Black Sea Grain Initiative was signed last week, but issues remain. One of the key Ukrainian ports has shut down operation because Russia is not allowing ships to enter. Russia claims it's been unable to export ammonia through a pipeline in Ukraine. Both sides are looking for leverage in the dispute over food, grain, and fertilizer exports.
Acreage and weather remain uncertain for grain market traders. Comstock Investments market analyst Joe Camp says traders are nervous.
Yeah, we're going to wonder what's ahead here, of course, for, again, the political stuff, but also weather-wise. That's been in the forecast that we're having a dry spell in the middle of the country, wetter in the west where it's needed, but also where we could have still some disruptions for the late planting effort. We've been talking about that, as always, this time of the year, what kind of potential switching we might have from, say, corn to soybeans, what maybe we might have in terms of prevent plants still stacking up here before some of these final plant dates.
A three-day holiday weekend also adds some uncertainty.
But, yeah, the long weekend always comes with uncertainty, so I would be a little bit wary if we're going to continue to rally into Friday. Maybe at that point there is some profit-taking because of the nervousness over a three-day weekend. It's not just weather and the politics of it all, but also, of course, what's going on with the war in Ukraine, where anything can happen over 3 days.
Advanced trading commodity research analyst Brian Bastings. Traders are adding a bit of risk premium into this grain market.
Out of a holiday weekend, as your listeners know, of course, starting to see some drier weather move in across the Midwest here, obviously. Excuse me, last week of May, it's premature to read too much into that regarding summer weather. However, with stocks as tight as they are domestically and worldwide, the market had taken nearly all the weather premium out when we saw December corn, for example, briefly drop below $5 a bushel, and November beans were approaching about $11.75 a bushel. Just building a little bit of that premium back in, it's kind of a double-edged sword for the short term because I think that the drier weather will help us complete planting.
And Basting says the livestock market's seeing a little bit of a bounce.
We're seeing a nice recovery today, for example, and June cattle futures have actually been able to nudge back above 165 here. That would be close to a contract high, if I'm not mistaken. Contract high was made there back in April. As I look at my chart here, at about 166.27, so we're less than a dollar away from a contract high.
The Central Corn Belt has been dry, but Corn Belt Marketing market analyst Sam Hudson says there hasn't been much concern so far.
It is notable, noteworthy, I would say, from eastern Nebraska all the way to Indianapolis. On the other side of the I-80 corridor, you've got a pretty wide dry stretch that's going to need sequential rainfall throughout the summer, but better to have some dry conditions now than later. Let this crop root down, let it get some heat units and get it sprayed, and we'll see what happens into early June, and if the weather develops amicably, then I think we have to start writing in the higher possibility of a trend yield and therefore good production and likely lower markets.
Hudson says there is not much weather premium in the market right now.
Now, part of that's been, just with the extraction of the demand, because we're not walking that razor's edge like we could have been here even just 2 months ago with some of the demand projections you could have thrown out there. It's about a 300 million bushel swing from where some people were thinking we were going to land from then to now. And so, if you put that into, new crop marketing terms, I mean, you can take 2 million acres off this corn crop, and that's maybe equates to 300 million bushels right there. And so that's before you even have any sort of yield threat. And so you still have a carryout that would end up over 2 billion, and that doesn't really strike fear in the hearts of a lot of people. So we got to win our export market back, potentially have a supply threat, but it's going to be mid-late June before I think some of that can happen. This next crop report is probably going to underscore that.
Russian and Chinese officials are meeting in Shanghai, looking at ways to increase cooperation between the two countries. Trade between Russia and China could hit $200 billion this year. Agriculture and renewable energy are being described as growth areas for trade. Last year, trade in agriculture products rose 42%, topping $7 billion. Reporting Agriculture's Business, you're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. Temperature swings have caused cow-calf producers some headaches this spring. University of Minnesota beef specialist Eric Mosel says scours have hit some producers harder this year.
It has been an interesting spring just in terms of hot and dry and then wet and cold, and that's really caused a lot of issues for a lot of folks just in terms of particularly calf health has been a big issue this spring. Had a lot of lots and lots of scour problems, different types of things like that. And then, of course, the flies are starting to show up. They showed up here on Tuesday in mass, and so we're going to have to start thinking about some fly control for cows.
With warmer temperatures on the way bringing insects back, pink eye can become an issue. Mosel suggests getting creative with insecticide.
The importance of face flies in particular is that's your main vector for spreading pink eye. So we want to make sure that we can get some fly control around the face of the animal. And that's why, we want to think about some of those rubs or oilers or dusters is to control those face flies. So we have to start thinking about any type of pyrethrin or pyrethrin derivative type product. That's the main insecticide ingredient in a lot of these fly control. But, of course, you got to force the cattle to use them. So you got to put them in spots that they traverse through on a regular basis and kind of are forced to go under the rub or use the dusters.
A quick look at markets before we leave you. July wheat, Minneapolis, 21 and three quarters lower at $7.99. September, also 21 and three quarters lower at $8.02.5. July wheat, Chicago, 16 and a quarter lower at $6.06. Kansas City wheat, 29 lower at $8.12.5. Corn, July contracts 9.5 higher at $5.87. December corn, 2.75 higher at $5.19.5. July soybeans, 1.5 higher at $13.24. November soybeans down 3.25 at $11.84.5. Canola in Winnipeg, $3.60 a metric ton lower at $6.98 Canadian. June live cattle, $1.90 higher at $166.15. Feeder cattle, 92 cents higher, while lean hogs down 85 cents. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.